You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
I'd like to start by welcoming you to this place made holy by our presence. It is rooted in love, inspired by wisdom, nourished by hope, grounded in our seven principles, fed by our traditions, grown through our deeds. We light this chalice, a living symbol of the one life that animates and sustains all things and all persons. The one life in which we all live and move and have our being, and the one life which perpetually gives of itself to itself so as to become the many. By means of the light of truth and reason and the warmth of fellowship and compassion, may the many come to know themselves to be not only interconnected with each other, but also indivisible emanations of that one great light which enlightens all life and which can never be extinguished. We have been gathering as a group of people in Adelaide since the 1850s, a long period of time. We acknowledge that the land that we are gathering on belongs to the Kaurna people, and we acknowledge their ongoing custodianship of this land. All are welcome here. The Meditation on Opposites by Alex Capitan. Spirit of the universe, life force that flows through all things, power beyond our knowing. We ask you to help us see beyond our dependence on opposites, to transcend our desire to know who is like us and who is not. Open us to the knowledge that in this room there are complexities and diversities of identities, beyond black and white, old and young, man and woman, poor and rich, uneducated and educated, disabled and able-bodied, gay and straight, ill and healthy, wrong and right, broken and whole. In this room, there are people who embody juxtaposition, who can tell stories written on their bodies without both and neither, who can carry intimate pieces of the truth that there is no such thing as opposites. Spirit of many names and of no name at all, help us find release from our belief that all things must be either or. This belief that walls us off from one another, ensnaring us in a battle of same versus different. Help us to open our minds, to deeply listen, and to truly know one another, finally glimpsing the kaleidoscopic beauty of the divine. The dark side. An unusual topic, but blame my granddaughter. The dark side of human nature that is related to the misdeeds of mankind and sin. Sin is not a topic that sits well within Unitarian beliefs. The reasons for this are many, and yet I suspect that one of the main reasons is that many Unitarians, perhaps more those who have adopted Unitarianism along their journey, have come from a Christian background and have an aversion to the topic due to the emphasis on sin and the need for redemption from these sins through the saving grace of Jesus. As it says in chapter 1 of John, verses 8 to 10, If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. When preparing this address, I wondered how the other major religions dealt with the concept of sin, and found that the term sin does not have any special connotation in Buddhism, as it has in major theistic religions like Christianity, Judaism, or Islam. In all of these religions, the general belief is that sins are individual actions that are contrary to the will of God or to the will of the Supreme Being. In Buddhism, there is no concept like sin, as Buddha is not a god. Buddhists consider that there are only mistakes, errors. This is similar to the Greek definition of sin as having missed the mark. I imagine there are some sitting here this morning who are beginning to feel a little uncomfortable about where I might be taking this, and even whether this is an appropriate topic to be discussing within these walls. So I say, just stay with me for a little while and trust that I won't overstep the Unitarian boundaries. Sin in itself can be a powerful word when connected to the vilest of acts committed by humans. Archetypical sins of murder, rape, abuse, and the dark side of human behaviour easily come to mind. To clarify our thoughts, let's simply consider the word sin and its origin for a moment. From what I've read, the term sin, as we know it, has been in use for at least 1,000 years. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, our current form of the word comes from the Middle English sign, S-I-N-N-E, which is in itself from the Old English sign, S-Y-N. The original meanings of sin largely concerned with religious matters, an offence against the religious or moral law, a transgression of the law of God, a vitiated state of human nature in which the self is estranged from God, as they still are today. Sin does, however, have weakened non-religious meanings. In its meaning that it is or is felt to be highly reprehensible, it is still a weighty word. It refers to actions of a kind that are likely to be strongly condemned. Far weaker is its meaning, an often serious shortcoming, which can jokingly apply to a harmless act like eating one dessert too many, or can be paired with another word to refer to failing of one kind or another, as in literary grammatical sins. Sin is often placed in subcategories as well, such as mortal sin for the worst kind of sin, or venial sin for those sins that aren't quite as bad. In the English language, there are many options available to describe sin, particularly if we think sin is too strong a word. For example, from the Latin root word meaning to sin, peccare comes. Peccadillo, for a slight offence. Peccable, which may mean either liable to sin or susceptible to temptation. And peccant could be used to describe an action as violating a principle or rule as a taste of propriety. But what about the religious connotations of sin? What about the concept of original sin? I understand that Jenny Geister once touched this subject in an address she gave. Original sin is a hallmark of certain sects of Christian belief. This idea is that we're all born with inherent sin and are in need of redemption, without which we will suffer eternal damnation, and appears to be in juxtaposition to the first principle of Unitarianism, which states the inherent worth and dignity of every person. However, there are other reasons that Unitarians have difficulty with the concept of original sin. We challenge the notion that all humans are conceived and born in sin and can only be saved by a designated holy person, which appears irrational, as it's hard to conceive how a loving God would create such a mean system. And when you consider the story of the Garden of Eden, the question of why a loving God would place the first humans in a beautiful garden, then point out the most fantastic tree in the garden, the tree of knowledge and life, and then challenge them not to touch it or to learn from it. This is akin to us being told, Here is the most comprehensive, expansive library in the world. The door's always open, but you mustn't go in, and you can't use the knowledge you'll find in there if you do go in. What kind of God would do that? However, consider this, that the sin committed was that they had broken their relationship with God by their behaviour. Even when God confronted Adam with the fact that they had done what he had asked them not to do, Adam denied it, and through that showed that he was not prepared to work on restoring the relationship with God. Perhaps this is the main point of this allegory, that we can all miss the mark, but having done so, need to be prepared to work on restoring the relationship or damage done as much as possible. The concept of restoring relationships has led contemporary behaviour management specialists to develop a program aptly titled Restorative Practice. And this is being implemented in schools, prisons, detention centres and private practices dealing with behavioural change rather than merely punitive measures, and is finding great success in bringing the perpetrators to acknowledge the damage that they have caused, as well as offering assistance in bringing them back closer to the mark, creating positive outcomes. Great news. But that still leaves the question, why do we sin? Miss the mark? Do what we know to be wrong? Could it be the dark side of human nature?
Be kind in all you do. We're free to learn together as we search for what is true. All people need a voice to build a fair and peaceful world. We all care for this earth and we're connected to its web.
Robert Louis Stevenson, author of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, once stated, "Man is not truly one, but two." Michael Jarrett is a professor of management practice in organisational behaviour at INSED. He states, "The dark side is the part of the self that lies hidden in the shadows of our personality. We are often surprised to learn that it exists, and it's usually a part of ourselves that we would rather deny, a sort of motivated forgetting. This false self is what people present to the outside world." Freud, in his classic Civilization and Its Discontents, 1929, postulated that being part of a civilized society safeguards us from personal chaos, from being dominated by our amoral id. So as civilized beings, we appoint communal authorities, such as police, to protect us not simply from others' bases, impulses, but also our own. I believe most people agree with that, although it's somewhat reductive. There's something profoundly true in Freud's assumptions about the human psyche. At the same time, I think that while we may be wired to at least imagine what it might be like to boldly and unabashedly follow our inborn predilections and without the slightest regard for how they might affect others, just envisioning ourselves engaging in such behaviours hardly means that finally we choose to enact them. Jung stated, "I must also have a dark side if I am to be whole." Jung referred to the dark side as a shadow. He believed that in spite of its function as a reservoir for human darkness, or perhaps because of this, the shadow is the seat of creativity. And it makes perfect sense that if creativity entails a certain freedom from our customary constraints in thought and feeling, then giving ourselves the license to create also involves granting ourselves the privilege to inwardly explore and outwardly express the darker side of our latent tendencies and impulses. He says, "Knowing your own darkness is the best method for dealing with the darknesses of other people." I believe as Unitarians working and striving to uphold the principle of acknowledging the inherent worth in all humanity, we need to reconsider the concept of sin and the knowledge that we first accept our own dark side and accept that it's not something that we need to deny, but simply is a part of our individual being or wholeness. Not acknowledging this part of our psyche can, by denying its existence, lead to negative consequences. Cheryl Lee says, the more we deny that we have a dark side, the more power it has over us. Studies show that we tend to deny this negative part of ourselves as a form of self-protection. We split off these bad feelings and project them onto others. Thus, we see these traits in others, but definitely not in ourselves. Just ask my wife about my driving capability. Here lies the first problem. Clinical and ego psychologists have various theories to explain the development of these internal conflicts and the defence mechanisms that we deploy to navigate everyday life. However, they tend to agree that these elements operate unconsciously and their roots are often found in childhood experiences, which have an onset in adolescence or early adulthood. According to some authorities, they tend to be pervasive and inflexible and are stable over time. They represent personality fault lines that are dispositional, inherently based on personality. So the challenge for us when we see evil is to strive to view this in light of the inherent value in all humans, recognizing our own dark side. We have an alternative to simply condemning what has occurred by striving to identify what has been lost by the evil or sin perpetrated, and then attempting to work out how what has been lost or damaged can be destroyed or restored. What our actions and discussions ought to be aimed at achieving is bringing about a situation of wholeness. While preparing this address, I remember the actions of Jacinda Ardern after the brutal murders of Muslims in Christchurch. Her words and actions focused on healing the wrong that had been created. In contrast, remember Donald Trump's reaction to Black Lives Matter protests when he supported the white supremacists' actions and condemned the protesters as terrorists and sent in the National Guard. What can we take from the example set by these two very different styles of leaders? We all have a dark side, some more than others. The roots of these come from childhood, but what makes the difference is the ability to mobilise internal regulation, the aid of a skillful helper. On balance, it is probably better to deal with these inner dynamics than have the external world expose your fault lines. Yoda from Star Wars wisely states, and I can't put his voice on, fear is the path to the dark side. The underlying messages being, don't be afraid. Use the dark side and channel it for the greater good. John Bradshaw states, evil is a source of moral intelligence in the sense that we need to learn from our shadow, from our dark side, in order to be good. So be it.
Got out of bed again today. Climb out of the window, 'cause the door feels too passé. I know I'm not there yet, but I see that glorious way. And when I hear your voice, I know you'll help me see. I am the goddamn best person I can be. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day.
These words this morning are our closing words. The majesty of creation. If we would but allow the majesty of creation to be, it would bless us. If we would incorporate the myriad aspects of creation instead of trying to incarcerate them, the war would end. If we could accept ourselves, maybe then we could accept others. If all these questions add up to confusion, all these answers add up to one affirmation: love life and it will bless you. So be it.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianessay@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Essay Unitarians.